Thanks for listening in to the Calvary Podcast, coming to you from Miami, Florida. We're so glad you've joined us. We hope today's message will encourage you and remind you that God is with you and He's for you. Here's today's message.
Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus is now in my life. I'm not the same person anymore. And the life that I now live in the flesh, this physical body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." He took the cross for me. "I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." So if you're taking notes, what I want to talk about today is identity crisis. We got to be careful. We ourselves aren't living in an identity crisis. The church doesn't have an identity crisis because we know that society does, culture does, America does. And we got to make sure that that culture or that mindset, that idea of identity crisis doesn't infiltrate the church, where we don't forget what Jesus did for us and what that means for us in our new life. So let's pray. And ask Jesus to bless our time together. Lord, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you just meet us here today. God, we just pray that as we open up your word, as we share on these two verses, God, that you would speak to us clearly, loudly, boldly, God, whether it's correction or encouragement. We just pray that your word would have its way today. God, more than just a man with a microphone, we just pray, Holy Spirit, you would speak the loudest today. Help us as we talk about changes, to change our lives, to be better fathers, mothers, husbands, co-workers, bosses, CEOs, whatever the case may be, we would just be more like you, Jesus. That'd be our prayer. But also, we pray for anybody here today that doesn't know you, Jesus. They don't have a relationship with you. They've never made a decision to lay down their life and put it in your hands to become a Christian. We pray that today, Lord Jesus, they would make the best decision of their entire life in following after you and the forgiveness of their sins. So Lord, we love you. We thank you. And everybody said, amen and amen. So I don't know if you're familiar with a company named LifeLock. They have a pretty funny story that I would like to share. So LifeLock is an American company that is known and was trying to help people not have identity theft and not have their credit cards stolen, not have accounts open in someone else's name. And the CEO of this company was a pretty eccentric guy. And he believed so strongly in his company's effectiveness to protect people in America from identity theft, that he put his own identity on the line. This man's name was Todd Davis, and he goes, okay, here's what I'm gonna do. To get LifeLock out there, for people to sign up to this company, for us to make some money, I'm gonna lead the way, and I'm gonna put my social security number everywhere for people to see it. And literally, this man put it on billboards, put it on every ad in the newspaper. He put it on the side of the truck. You know those ghetto Miami trucks that have like the club signatures everywhere? Like he put it on those. He did everything. If you don't believe me, we got a picture of it. There he is. Look at Todd Davis. What a man. If you need some money, you can take a Social Security right now. Harvard of the House is coming up as well. So if you can copy that. And as you can guess, this didn't end well for Todd Davis. Because what started to happen was, little by little, reports would start to show up that his social security number had been compromised. People were taking loans out in his name, opening up new accounts. And not only that, there were several thousand dollars of debt that he started to accumulate because of people taking his money. So he got his identity stolen, his credit was ruined. And the worst part was that essentially, he was giving away his identity for free. Everybody had a piece of Todd Davis. And I think about that story, I think about that illustration, and here I'm not talking about credit card fraud, I'm not talking about account fraud, but I think just like Todd Davis, a lot of us are suffering from stolen identities. I think the society that we live in, the culture that we live in, everybody has a say with how you should, who you should be, how you should act, what decision you should make, and we live in a time where we could be more confused than ever of who we are. Maybe that's our life journey. Our life journey is asking the question, who am I? Who has God created me to be? And before we know it, on that search, we are putting our identity in every single basket in different people's hands. We're looking in all the wrong places. And not only just ourselves, think about our kids growing up in this nation, growing up with people that don't even know who they are. And our kids, what is their identity gonna look like? What identity are we showing our children? And if we're not careful, we can ask the question, who am I? What's my purpose? What's the DNA that God has given me? And we could be confused because one day we're one way, another day we're another, one day we're angry, one day we're happy. And we just live in this cycle where do we really know who we are? Or has our identity been stolen? Do we have theft? Are we confused? Are we living in an identity crisis? Here's why this is a big problem. Because if the search for your identity is wrong, then the itinerary of your life will be wrong. In other words, what you do flows out of who you are. Every decision that you make, everything that you lean towards or advocate for or spend most of your time and resources for flow out of who you are and what you believe and what the foundations of your life are. If you are a sports fan, you're gonna be more inclined to spend money on sporting events, sporting memorabilia. You're gonna watch TV. You're gonna create time and space to watch sports. Maybe you're a musician. Your identity as a musician, as somebody who plays the guitar, plays the trumpet, likes music, whatever the case may be, you're gonna spend money on concerts. You're gonna spend money on band equipment. Like who you are, it's so vital because what you do flows from who you are. And it's not just important for us. Identity is not just a big deal to us. It was a huge deal to Jesus. Why? Look what it says in Matthew 3, verses 17 and 18. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At the moment, heaven opened up and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased." God in this very moment gives Jesus an identity. Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God. And because of his identity, now his life has a purpose. His life has an itinerary. His life has a meaning. He's the Son of God. He has a mission. He has a purpose. He has a message to preach. He has people to heal. He has things to say. Because of who he is, he now knows where to go. And if you don't know who you are, and if you're struggling with that question, then it's gonna be hard to know what to do with your every single day life. You gotta know who you are. Your identity matters. The question is, Jesus gets his identity from God. He has a foundation. For us, the question is, where do we get our identities from? Like, what's the foundation of our life? The choices that we make, the things we choose to invest in, the people we choose to vote for. What's the foundation of who we are and what we believe in and what we do? What's the foundation of our identity? Because I think a lot of us, we're grabbing identity from a lot of different areas. There's more, but I think I could group them up into like four different identities. The first one is, I think a lot of us get our identity from performance, what we do. You notice in America, just in the world general, we have more opportunity to reach our full potential, yet mental health is at an all-time high. There's more gyms than ever before. There's more self-help books than ever before. Therapy is being shoved everywhere in everybody's face. You can get help wherever. You could be your best self today. But why is our country having a mental health epidemic? It's because we're all trying to get somewhere that our identity is from what we do. Our business, our giftings, our workplace, what we do defines us. Yet our performance and what we do puts more pressure on us to perform in a way that calls for perfection, and Jesus never called us to be perfect. Another place we get our identity from is our possessions. I am what I wear and what I have. Materialism, money, my things that I have make me. When I go to places, I dress a certain way to convey a message so you would notice me, that I would tell people about the things that I have so people would be impressed by me. Like, people ask me all the time, "Phil, why did you start wearing jackets?" I mean, really, there's no real answer other than, like, I just feel like this is what a dad with two kids is supposed to look like. I don't know. Like, this is, I'm maturing. And that's it. I just feel like Like, I literally went to Goodwill, just bought a bunch of jackets, and here I am. Just feel like this is what I'm supposed to do, because I'm trying to convey, like, I'm looking a certain way. I'm changing how I used to look. I don't want to look that way. And a lot of us, we don't take what we wear seriously when certain things that you wear are conveying a message. How you dress, how you lack some dress, shows what you are trying to convey. And we put our identity and what we wear, what we buy, what we own. Third is pleasure. I am what I want. I am what I want. We define who we are based on sexual orientation. Our sexuality becomes the most important thing about us. Attaining sexual gratification, our appetites for the opposite sex, our desires become our driving force in life. Not only that, our sexual orientation, who we are in our bodies, the people we're attracted to, all that is our driving force. Our life, our identity is what I want. Fourth, it's popularity. I am what other people think of me. People's opinions dictate my happiness. People's views toward me dictate my joy. There's a pressure to be smarter, better, cooler in front of all the people that we care about. And what happens is that creates a deep insecurity when we post things on IG and Facebook and nobody says anything. Come on, you ever post something in like 30 seconds, you're like, did anybody like it? Anybody comment on it? Anybody say anything about this? Does anybody care about me? Because our identity is based on our influence, people seeing us, eyeballs happening on our life. Performance, possessions, pleasure, popularity. If our identity is tied to these things, if our happiness is tied to these things, we're in a very, very dangerous position. Why? Because eventually, all these things will be taken away from us. All these things are here today, gone tomorrow. They are not everlasting. They are not forever. They will be taken away from us. And the question I have is, who are you without your possessions? Who are you without money? Who are you when you can't perform anymore? Who are you when nobody knows about you, when nobody sees you, when nobody pats you on the back? Who are you without your business? Who are you without, name it? Do you know who you are? What's your identity? What's your, who has God called you to be without all these things we so heavily lean on? This is vital because, you know how Satan destroys us? He confuses us. He gets us on a search for identity in the wrong places and the wrong people and the wrong things. You know he did this to Jesus. Literally, when Jesus gets his identity, the scripture tells us immediately he was taken to the wilderness. And look what the devil says. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus is hungry. He was hungry. The tempter came to him. The devil said, if you are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, who we've been told you are, tell these stones to become bread. Satan immediately attacks Jesus' identity. Why? Because if you can confuse Jesus, if you can get Jesus on the wrong path of his identity, it'll lead to a wrong decision. Because Jesus didn't come here just to eat some bread. Yes, he's hungry. He has appetites. He has a desire. He wants to eat, but he also has a greater mission because he's the bread of life. And all of us, if we choose so, can have satisfaction in Jesus because of what he did in his ministry, because of what he did on the cross. His identity was bigger. He's the Son of God. And so he can't settle for less. His identity was too important. He knew who he was. So he made the right decision to not compromise his identity for some bread. This is the war we are in right now, church, because John 10:10 tells us there's two sides and both give you something. Satan attacks your identity because he wants to steal, kill, and destroy your existence. You ever being happy, you ever being blessed, you ever stepping foot in heaven, you ever not being confused about who you are. But Jesus gives us even something greater. He gives us abundant life. He gives us satisfaction. He gives us salvation. And so here's the thing. What happens with changes is we never find freedom in our relationship with Jesus because a lot of us are getting our identity from earth instead of heaven. We get our identity from the things that surround us. when heaven came down to earth and went on a cross and said, hey, you're a sinner in need of a savior. You're not as powerful as you are. You're not as strong as you think. You need me to bless you, to give you strength, to heal you, to save you from yourself. You know where you find identity? You look to the cross. And you're reminded of what Jesus did for you that you couldn't do for yourself. That the power of the resurrection changes our lives, and we look to the cross, not as a necklace, not as a tattoo, not as something we get familiar with every single Sunday, but we see it as, that is where my sin is, and Jesus resurrected from the grave, now I resurrect, so what was left on the cross no longer is my life. I'm no longer X whatever, I'm no longer a sinner in this department. I'm a new creation with a new identity because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. Jesus wants to give you abundant life, but you gotta know who you are and where your identity comes from. It comes from the cross. Who you really are, you find it on the cross. Jesus on the cross saves us and changes us, but our life should look different. But how come it doesn't? That's what Paul's trying to address here in Galatians. He's trying to remind some people, hey, when you accepted Jesus, here's what happened, and some things in your life should change. If you look earlier in chapter 2 of the same book in Galatians, Paul has an encounter with Peter, another apostle. And what happens here is that Peter is kind of forgetting who he is. Says this, when Peter came to Antioch, Paul, I had to oppose him to his face. I had to call him out. We had to have a talk. Because what he was doing was wrong. When Peter first arrived, he would eat with Gentile believers, people that are non-Jews, but they believe in Jesus. So they're Christians, they're brothers and sisters. They were not circumcised, but he ate with them. But after, some friends of James came. Now Peter doesn't want to eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. They're all Jewish traditionalists. And Peter is like, I'm going to sit with these guys because I don't want to be criticized. Popularity. Pressure of people. As a result, other Jewish believers, people that gave their life to Jesus, that believed in the resurrection, they followed Peter's hypocrisy. Even Barnabas. Barnabas is probably like, dude, I didn't even try to do that. How do you see all these things? Even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. So when I saw this, that they weren't following the truth of the gospel message, I had to say something. Peter here, an example of us, when we have an ID problem, we forget who we are, and we start reverting back to our old ways. Peter is a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, who saw the resurrection, who saw Jesus after the grave and says, I'm gonna give my life for this. And Jesus builds his church off of Peter when he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. That Peter was like, yeah, but I kind of don't wanna have criticism. So I'm gonna sit with these guys. And what happened? He forgot who he was. And people followed Peter because they had influence, and he caused them to go into the hypocrisy he was doing. He forgot who he was. Church, have you forgotten who you are in Jesus? Have you forgotten how you're supposed to live? How we're supposed to speak? How we're supposed to raise our kids? How we're supposed to love each other? How we're supposed to love this city? How we're supposed to give our lives for the church and the gospel message? And in doing so, Jesus blesses us. Because we know who we are. Now we know where to go and what to do. Peter forgot that. I think some of us, we could forget our identity. So Paul now writes what we read in verses 20 through 21, I believe, in congruence with what Paul or Peter was doing in our section that we just read. And he starts out with a pretty strong statement. He goes, I've been crucified with Christ. Right off the bat, those letters or those words are very powerful. Why? Because Paul is saying that I died with Jesus. If you accepted Jesus in your life, if you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus isn't the only one that just died. We die too. We die. He says, with Christ. You know what that means? That means a union happened between you and Jesus, me and Jesus. And why is this the most important thing you need to know about your faith? Is because it changes what you look at and how to live your life. When you get crucified with Jesus, when that union happens, guess what? You have a new reference point. What do you mean? Now when I look to how to live, how to speak, how to be generous, how to forgive people, how to handle being a parent, I look not to the world, but I look to Jesus because I'm in union with him. I have a reference point. Jesus is my North Star. Jesus is the one that I look to. I have my identity because it's with Jesus. So I look back to my reference point, and so I'm confused about something, if I have questions about something, I look to Jesus. I'm in union with him. I died with Jesus. Look what it says in Romans 6, 1 through 4. Then should we just keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Oh, have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in baptism, we joined him in his death. We died too. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father. Now we also may live new lives. We have a brand new life when we have Jesus. Our old ways are dead. When we get baptized, we leave the old man in the sea. We come out a new creation. When you accept Jesus, not just Jesus, the one that resurrected, but you resurrect as well. You resurrect from that old dead life you were living, where you wanted to give up. You feel like there's no hope. You put your faith and hope and love in Jesus Christ, and you died with him, but you also resurrected, and you have a new life. My friend, you have a new life. You're not the same mom you used to be. You're not the same business owner you used to be. You're not the same friend you used to be. You're not the same person you used to be. You're new because you died with Jesus. But are we living in that blessing, knowing that the identity I have in Jesus is the best? Because you know what I think happens? We forget that this union takes work. For example, I am a big coffee lover. I love coffee. Any coffee lovers in here? Yes, my people, okay. Now, for the most part, I drink my coffee black, no sugar or creamer. But on Mondays on my day off and Sundays here on a church, I like to treat myself. I like to go a little crazy. And so what I'll do is I'll put oat milk creamer in my coffee. So my thing in my house is I do a French press, one because I'm into coffee, but I'm not that into coffee. And French press is really easy. And so I just, like, this is what I'm gonna do. So I ground the coffee beans, I put it in the French press, I boil the water, I do all that. And then I'll get my oat milk creamer, which, by the way, why is there a new milk every year? Where are they getting this milk from? I blame the government. Okay, so I put the oat milk creamer in and I enjoy my coffee. Now, what I did was, I created a union between coffee and creamer. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried taking creamer out of your coffee once it's put in? You can't. It's impossible. It's literally one of the hardest things you can do. Because what happens is you create a union where the creamer now integrated with the coffee. And so every time you try to get that creamer out, you're not gonna enjoy your coffee. And what happens is a lot of us, we come to church, we put our little Jesus in our cup, we stir it around, and we go, this tastes great. But then after church, you know what happens? We try to get the creamer out and try to go back to our own life, go back to our own way of thinking. And guess what? You're not gonna enjoy your relationship with Jesus trying to get your old ways back into your new life. It's impossible. Trying to disconnect from Jesus is a miserable experience. It's miserable. Why? It's because you literally getting a glimpse of what Jesus can do for you, but yet saying what you've experienced in your past is still better. That what God wants to promise to us is everlasting life, is healing, is the list goes on, the promises of God for our life. And on paper, we look at them and we're like, that's amazing. But then we turn around and we're like, this is also amazing. And so we find ourselves in the middle, not fully going all in with Jesus and trying to break free from the union we made when we died with Jesus, accepting him as our Savior. So what does that look like? What then do we have to do? You know what we have to do? If we're going to be in union with Christ, we have to die every day. And I know that's not like that's so depressing. I have to die every day. But Jesus had to die to be resurrected. Jesus had to die to give us the best gift ever. In order for us to have resurrection power, for us to see the best versions of ourselves, to stop struggling with the things that we struggle with, we have to die daily. Luke 9:23 tells us, Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Take up your cross daily, every single day. Jesus wants A, I want B. I die to B. That's my life. That's how I filter my decisions. Jesus wants this for me, but I really want this. I die to this. I die to it. Even if I feel like it's a good thing, even if I feel like it's something maybe God wants for me, I die to it because I always want what Jesus has for me. I die to that relationship. I die to those desires. I die to those inclinations. I die to the things that I want so badly. And put my faith that when I die to those things, Jesus will provide for me. Jesus will tell me what my plan is. Jesus will tell me who I'm supposed to marry. Jesus will tell me how to raise my kids. Jesus will fulfill every promise he's told me when I die to myself. You have to die every single day. God's choice over my choice. God's design over my design. It's God's way. Paul goes on to say, says, okay, we've been crucified with Christ. Now, the life we now live in the flesh, this physical world, we live it by faith in the Son of God. Now you read that, you're like, okay, this is a tricky line. Because how can you live if you've been crucified? Like, how does that work? Okay, I'm supposed to die every day. Sounds rough, but okay, I'll do it. Like, I'm all in, Jesus. But how can I live if I do that? How can I live if I've been crucified? You see, Paul, he's not talking about physical life. He's talking about the life of your soul, which, by the way, is the real you. Your soul is the real you. See, the problem is we think that this, all this, is the best thing about us. It's the most important thing about us. Yes, our body is a temple. We're to take care of it because God doesn't want you to just waste your body. But this isn't who I am. This isn't me. It's what covers the real me. Let's go back all the way to creation. Adam, created from the dust. What did God do? He created a body. Then what did he do to that body? He breathed his life into it and he gave it a soul. You understand? You know why there's a difference between humans and animals? It's because they have a body, but no soul. We don't live like animals. We don't do what animals do. We have a soul. We have personalities. We have interests. We have likes, dislikes, hobbies. We have things that we're into, music we like to listen to. We have sporting events we like to go to. We have certain foods that we like to eat. That's your soul. And God, since the beginning of time, gave that to you. It's the real you, but the problem is, when we're born on this planet, you know what else is formed? Sin is formed in our life. And sin is a cancer to our soul. And so when we give our life to Jesus, when we're crucified in Christ, we don't live by the flesh anymore, but by faith in Jesus Christ, because our soul is now made new. And I'm not saying that all the things that you like, who you are, the DNA that God gave you now is ruined. No, but the things that God put in you now go back to Jesus. For example, if I'm an athlete, God gave me athletic talent. He gave me the ability to play sports. But when I give my life to Jesus, now that goes back to him. I work out, I live life, I play the games to honor him, to make sure he gets the glory, to not waste what he's given me because he put it in me. He gave me this interest. He gave me this love for sports, and you can fill in the blank. The real you is your soul, but sin wants to confuse that and wants to dilute that, and Jesus wants to put it in the right place. Paul is saying, I don't listen to my body. I offer my body. I give it back to Jesus. Jesus, I feel like my body's a mess. Some people, maybe you feel like you're in the wrong body. Give it back to Jesus. Give it back to him. I'm not saying life is gonna be easy all the time, but you'll have peace knowing that you're in the right place with the right person, and you have strength, and you have satisfaction. You'll be okay. Because you go to Jesus. We don't live how we used to anymore. I don't live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God. Why would I do that? Because Jesus loved me and he gave himself for me. That's how Paul ends this verse. He goes, Jesus loved me and gave himself up for me. You know what's beautiful about Jesus? Is that Jesus would never ask us to do something he himself wouldn't do. Can we go back to Luke verse 22 or chapter 22? We see Jesus in a very, very vulnerable situation. A situation I believe all of us are in right now. Jesus is with the disciples. They fall asleep. So he leaves them to go pray because he knows what's coming. He knows the cross is on his way. He knows he's about to get arrested. He knows he's about to face insufferable pain. Jesus, in this moment, literally gets on his knees in a posture of humility, a posture of like, he's feeling the weight of this moment. The Bible says that Jesus starts sweating blood. That's how stressed he is. Because don't we forget that Jesus is human too. And what does he say to his father? His father, if it's possible, if you can, if there's a plan B, if there's another way, can you take this cup from me? Can you take this burden away from me? Do I have to have my hands nailed? Do I have to have my feet nailed? Do I have to be abandoned by my friends? Do I have to be abandoned by my family? Do I have to be mocked? Do I have to be by myself doing this? Is there another way? Have you ever prayed that before? God, is there another way? God, I feel like I'm stuck in the wrong body. God, I feel like I'm attracted to the wrong sex. God, I feel like I'm struggling with money. I feel like I'm struggling with anger. God, is there another way? Did you mess up when you made me? Jesus lets it out and then goes, not my will, but your will. He died to what he wanted, to take on the most crucial form of torture known to human mankind, for you and for me. You know, there's another story in the Bible where another visual like this happened. Mark 10, just the rich young ruler. If you're familiar with the story, awesome. If not, there's something that I noticed now reading it that I never noticed, that Mark 10 tells us that the rich young ruler ran to Jesus, and it says he went on his knees to talk to Jesus, to ask him a question. And he goes, Jesus, how do I enter into the kingdom of heaven? What does Jesus tell him? Sell your possessions. Hey, what you want, what has a hold on your heart, go sell it. Get rid of it. Die to it. On his knees, Jesus, how can I find the kingdom of heaven? I'm ready. Okay, die to what you want. Die to your possessions. The story goes on to say that he walks away from Jesus, declining the opportunity to be a disciple, and he walks away sad. So where are you at, church? Are you in this position right here, fighting with dying to the thing you need to die in order for you to have freedom, in order for you to have peace, in order for you to experience what Jesus died on the cross for you to experience? Because just like Jesus and just like the rich young ruler, we all have a choice to make in this moment. And the best decision is to say, not what I want, not what I believe is right, not what I think is better than your will, God. I die to that and I go towards you, Jesus. I give up everything. I have my kids, I have my business, I have my desires, I have everything. So I can change. So I can stop messing around with the drugs. So I can stop messing around with the alcohol. So I can stop talking to my wife like that. So I can stop being insecure. So I can stop. I want to change, Jesus. How do I do it? Right here. I've been crucified with Christ. You die daily. And you remember that your body, it's going to fade away one day. It's going to be taken from us. What lives forever is our soul. So today, what do you need to die to? Today, what do you say to Jesus about that thing you've been struggling with for years and years? And you're a Christian. You love Jesus. You go to church. Some of you are on Dream Team. You give to this house, but you haven't died to the thing that needed to be killed a long time ago. So today, can we walk out of here a little more light, a little more full of joy, knowing that the life that Jesus wants to give us is the greatest thing ever? Why don't we stand up to our feet as we wrap up our time together? One last group of people, I want to pray for you. If you've never made a decision to follow after Jesus, like you're not a Christian, you've never put your faith in God, you haven't had forgiveness of your sins, today I want to give you an opportunity. It's the greatest opportunity ever. So many people in this room have made the decision. And there's testimony after testimony after testimony of what Jesus did in their lives. And you look at some of their stories, some of their struggles, you're like, how in the world did you beat that? Jesus. It's Jesus. It's always Jesus. See, Jesus left heaven, came down to earth, was born as a baby, grew up to be a man, got his identity from his father, went on a mission to save humanity. Why? Because sin is trying to kill you. When you're born on this planet, you're born a sinner. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And there's nothing we can do to get rid of that sin. Nothing. Doesn't matter how good of a person you are. Doesn't matter what your financial portfolio is. Doesn't matter how good you're raising your kids. That's all great, but you're still a sinner that needs a savior. So what does Jesus do? Jesus takes the cross that was meant for us. That death, that pain, and he switched places with you and I. Instead of us dying, instead of us being separated from God, instead of us spending eternal damnation in hell, no, you know what God does? He sends Jesus to take our place, and Jesus is the one that dies. Jesus is the one that pays for our sins. But we believe that he resurrected and he's alive today. So when we put our faith in Jesus, we die to our old ways, and guess what? We're no longer sinners. Heaven is our new home. We have a purpose and a mission that beats anything that this world has to offer. And you don't have to pay for anything. All you have to do to receive this free gift of grace, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life. And the Bible says, you'll be saved. So today we offer that opportunity for you. Every eye closed, every head bowed, just for privacy, just because we want to make this moment between you and the Holy Spirit, you and Jesus. You're saying, Phil, that's me. I need a brand new identity. I need a brand new start. I need a brand new purpose. I need forgiveness of my sins. I want to spend the rest of my life in heaven. I want to know that when I die, I know where I'm going. So I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, on the count of three, you lift up your hand. I'm not going to put a mic in your face. I'm not going to embarrass you. 1, 2, 3, you put your hand up. Put your hand up. God bless you. 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 Amazing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amazing. Go put your hands down. God bless you. Amazing. 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 Okay, if you raise your hand, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And this is awesome because this is you talking to Jesus. This is you acknowledging that you now are about to die and be resurrected into a new person. It's the best decision ever. It's amazing. We can't wait to sit front row to see what Jesus is going to do in your life. And we're going to be your brothers. We're family now. You come into the family of God. And as a family, we're going to help you with this prayer. We're going to say this prayer with you so you're not by yourself. So repeat after me, prayer goes like this. Lord Jesus, I open up my heart, invite you inside to be my friend, to be my savior, to be my God. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean. From this day forward, I want to follow you all the days of my life. Jesus, I thank you and I love you. And everybody said, come on, let's put our hands together. So many hands went up. It's a great day to celebrate. Thank you, Arnold. Seriously, so many hands went up. So many new lives in here, so many new beginnings. And we want to celebrate you. It really is a celebration. And in this moment, we want to just give you a few instructions. Because maybe you're like, okay, I raised my hand. What do I do next? I'm a Christian. What do I do now? And that's okay. We all had those questions. Here's one. We want to make it easier for you to understand what being a Christian is how to get plugged in at church. And so we have a gift for you. Literally, we want to celebrate you, make this day special for you. So we got a free Bible for you. We got a letter from Pastor Alex and Diana that gives you more instructions. We also have a free coffee voucher, some other good stuff. It's an awesome, awesome gift, and it's free. And so right after service, don't run out just yet. Go talk to the Connect team. They're amazing, the nicest people ever. They're gonna put this gift in your hand, and we're gonna celebrate you. Come on, let's put our hands together one more time. Our prayer as a church, as a pastoral team, as a staff, would we have a church that would always be changing, that we would never settle, that we never just settle just coming to church and that's it, that's my life. No, but I want more from God. I want His anointing. I want His favor. I want His blessings. I want more from God for my life, for my family, for my marriage. I don't want to just take up space. I don't want to be just average. I want more. And so today, can we change? Can we make a decision to die to what we want daily? Even if it hurts, even if we don't like it, even if we disagree with God, Jesus wants A, I want B, I die to B, and in return, I'm blessed, I have my identity confirmed, and I have the power of the resurrection in my life, amen. Come on, let me pray for your week, and then we're gonna worship one more time. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son, Jesus, dying on the cross for us. We pray that you would help us as a church, God, to always be changing, to never settle, and to always go after more. Lord, we love you, and we thank you. And everybody said, we love you, church. We'll see you next week. Let's finish with some worship. God bless you.